This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Still about to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
Oh no, she's in Australia.
You're so dumb.
Guess what? You're listening to the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast, yeah?
You do sound like Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life.
I was like, it was very... Thank you for listening. I am here. We are here. We are very queer. I'm here with the chanteuse of tomfoolery. The hag of happenstance. The duchess of that bullshit. Oscar Montoya!
You're so dumb. Oh my God.
How good is your Brit accent?
It's terrible. I can't do accents at all.
Hi, love. Hold on. I mean, just read me, because our British listeners said, hi, love. Yeah. Having a laugh. Yeah, you're having a laugh, are you? Yeah. Yeah.
Teen
you love it.
You're dying for it. Okay, can you do a Russian accent?
I think so. Oh God, this is embarrassing. Because it's close to Greek, but it's like a little, it's a little, I think there's even, okay, let me try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are Russian, no? No, that's kind of Borat.
What?
You know.
I mean, to me, that was fine.
We are Russian,
to me,
no?
That was fine. Can you do French? Can you do French accent?
Bitch, no, you do a French accent.
Girl,
can you do a French?
I gotta say,
try it.
I will try to do accents, but every accent it sounds like I'm Dracula. So here we go, French. okay, here we go. Hello, bonjour. Oh God, that was really bad. Bonjour.
That was too Holland. That was very Holland.
Feliciteers.
Feliciteers.
Leva, Queens.
Kaita Minaj. Okay, bitch. Guess what?
No, but back to your point of Rocco's Modern Life, you bitch.
Oh, if we were Rocco.
If we were in the Rocco universe, we would both be Heifer.
Bitch.
We're both Rocco's cow best friend.
You don't think I'm Filbert? You don't think I'm Filbert?
No,
a
girl,
little
you're
bit?
You're not nearly as smart as Filbert.
Oh.
No, you're Heifer, bitch. And so am I.
Damn.
Listen.
Clucky chicken. What? I mean, yeah, I do love Heifer.
Listen, Hive, rise the fuck up, bitch.
Honestly, no. You know who you are? You're Ed Bighead. You're the neighbor coming over, trying, you're just mad that Rocco's having a good time.
Damn, why does that feel like a hate crime?
It's an attack. It's an attack on your character. How much, what's the, Miss Bighead was such a horny slut. I loved her. Remember her?
I loved her so much. Also, like, to me, she felt very trans. Mr. Bighead felt very trans to me.
Yes.
You can't tell me otherwise.
Well,
Mr. and
well,
Mrs.
Girl,
Bighead were trans.
Their son transitioned.
Girl!
I mean,
that part,
the fact that they really
part.
Did that. They did that.
They really did that damn thing, girl.
Remember when Rocco would get flung into that one rhinoceros's tits and she would always say, "How dare you?" I mean,
let's be real. That's who we actually are.
That's who we are. That's who we
uh-huh.
are. That's who we are. Let's uh-huh. be real. Uh-huh. But hey, guess what? This isn't a Rocco podcast. This is a Drag Race podcast. I know, bitch.
Unfortunately.
Hey, look, if someone shows us coins, I will recap every episode of Rocco's Modern Life. Hey, I am so excited. We, you know, some people say this is stalling. Some people say we're desperate for content.
I would call it a stall. This is a filler, as you could. call a filler episode?
Filler ep. This is the poison ivy bag of episodes. Yeah.
We're drag her and we're gay as hell.
We decided we should do a top 10 UK drag race moments in all two seasons. We must get the top 10 moments nailed down before the third one comes in.
Oh my God. Yes, because we're highly anticipating season 3.
Excited.
So far, the cast is sickening.
I'm excited.
The episode with you and Miss Meatball. Oh, very fun.
So fun.
We're looking forward to UK 3, but in the meantime, let's take a look back.
Oh, at the top 10. And hey, one of my top 10 moments might be from UK 3. I don't know. It might be.
Wait, I didn't know that was allowed?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I didn't know that was allowed? Okay.
I don't know.
She's here to break the rules on her damn show.
One for one, because I was just like, let's each come up with some gaggy moments. I have too many, right? Because we're going to do a top 10 countdown from 10 to 1.
And that's how I think countdowns work, bitch.
Any of them that don't make it, let's just give honorable mention. We'll do a lightning round of honorable mentions. I love that. Yeah.
Big fan of that.
Love, love, love. And if you love countdowns, bitch, get into our other podcast, Podcast Kill the Video Star. Okay.
Beautiful segue, Mono. I love that. Follow us on Instagram at Podcast Kill the Video Star. You can even watch us on YouTube at Podcast Kill the Video Star.
It is so fun. We're getting so stupid. We're covering queer and straight history.
I know. We're really doing the work, bitch.
We just talked about some really fun shit. Beach videos, including Paris Hilton. Cisco. I mean, yeah. And of course.
The thong swong.
The much more modern and I guess relevant. Is it Belagroso? Is that what it's called?
Belacoso.
Belacoso with Residente and Bad Bunny.
That's a really fun episode.
Right.
Yeah, listen, so if you like the beach and you like music videos, get into our podcast.
Now we're going to try to... Okay, let's just talk about what we like about UK real quick before we jump into this.
Yes, I did want to...
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, before we get started on the actual countdown, I did want to ask you, Mono... Where
Mono.
Does
oh,
Drag
Mono.
Race Mono?
You
I
gave me Romy.
To ask you Mono.
You gave me some Romy right there.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
Oh Mono.
I'm Romy.
just discover
where
me.
Where UK Drag Race fits in the pantheon of the Drag Race sort of scope?
It's the best. I mean, argue it's. It's absolutely the best international franchise. Easy.
Interesting. Debatable.
I guess that is debatable. But I mean,
I'll fight you on that right now.
You think actually. It's Thailand? What do you think?
Girl, you know me.
Yeah.
I know you know me. Holler at me. I know you know me. That's the truth. I stand by Thailand being the best international season.
It's
of Drag Race.
Pretty incredible. Like, I'm going to say it comes really close.
But I would say Thailand is a scrappier version of Drag Race, and it doesn't have the Drag Race like sheen to it the UK does. I think UK is like the international season that is most closely associated to the American one because, of course, RuPaul is hosting it.
Right.
It's like all similar judges.
And she doesn't show up unless Crafty is together. She will not show up unless... If there isn't a grain-free granola at the Crafty table, she doesn't show up. She doesn't show up.
Wait, grain-free granola? Yeah, then what would be in the granola if it's not grain?
Oh my God, you are so old. You haven't been enjoying your grain-free granolas? It's like when it's rich because it's like nuts, like oats, seeds.
Chocolate.
We're not fucking with cornmeal and wheat flour. We're getting right to the expensive shit.
Is she a fan? It sounds like she's a fan.
I'm a fan. I had some this morning. This is unfair because I, of course, think UK is the funniest. Mm-hmm. Maybe UK is funnier than America, like as a whole.
You have mentioned this before, and I am giving you the same look that I looked at you before, which was, huh? But see, that's your comedy. That's your sense of humor, like very sort of...
Polished, very polished, very polished. Saint-Tropez.
No, but you are... very Saint-Tropez.
I mean, UK is hilarious.
Very fashion.
Okay, no. I think I might, hit for hit, UK queens are funnier than a US queen.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing because their metric is different than American queens in the sense that I think American queens emphasize their look, their aesthetic, more than their actual sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
Like a British queen can knock any American queen down when it comes to comedy.
Mm-hmm.
They're very sharp. They're very quick. They're good on the improv challenges.
Yep.
But girl, correct.
What?
Some of those looks be crunchy as fuck.
Yeah, they're, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think also when it comes to like lip syncs, I mean, we'll get into it in the countdown, but some of these lip syncs that are quote unquote iconic in the UK are just okay.
That's true, actually. That's pretty fair.
Because, you know, according to the queen of all queens from the UK, Miss Charlie Hides.
Yeah.
British queens don't lip sync. They sing live.
Mm-hmm. That's what she says. I mean, if she can be on a UK season, that would be a really funny gag.
Do you think, okay, how do you think she would place if she was, let's say, on UK 2?
UK, I think she would probably get hung up on her age again, unfortunately.
So she'd go home pretty early?
Yeah, I think she'd get hung up on her age. She'd be like, I'm 53. My ribs hurt. I have diarrhea. Can you shut up, Eureka?
And everyone's like, bitch, we didn't even start. We haven't even started the company.
Yeah. It's a lot.
This is just workroom entrances. What are you saying?
I want to be proven wrong, but I don't know. Who knows? Okay, let's get into this. Shall we? Okay, and we can disagree, obviously, we can re-rank them if we want, but do you want to go for 10 or 9? What do you want? What do you want in the countdown?
I'll go for 10. I'll start it off.
Work.
And I'm going to say, and these are officially top 10 UK moments on Drag Race, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to start off by
what? Wow,
because I didn't.
I know, okay. I know. I mean, it's not that serious, but yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna start by saying that this is gonna be my number 10.
Okay.
And this is a little unconventional because
Here we go.
I'm gonna say number 10 is the realization that Graham Norton is in fact a snack.
Wow.
That's number 10 for me, bitch.
Wow, you love Graham Norton.
Do you not? Do you not think he's a zaddy?
I think he's really cute, but I think he's really cute. I guess you're really coming for.
Oh, I'm coming, fully on board. I'm on that Tina Burner train and be like, I could. But here's the thing:
I would love to see the boy is mine between you and Tina Burner. Not yours, but mine. Oh, hello, loves. Oh, hey, how about you? Hello. Hi there. That's my Graham Norton.
Well, see, because the thing is, like, before Drag Race UK, I didn't give a shit about Graham Norton.
Sure.
No offense. I didn't think he was cute or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about him, especially in Drag Race UK 2, that I was like, wait a second, hold the presses.
Yeah.
What am I feeling inside?
Hold all the presses, you newspaper boys. Extra.
Because he is adorable. He's
snorting for Norton.
He's really attractive, you know. Excuse me?
You're snorting for Norton. Oink,
you
oink.
You call me a pig? You call me
yes.
a pig?
Oink,
you
oink.
You call me a pig?
Yeah, you fucking pig. You
oh my God.
Fucking sloppy wow. mud dick
Ew.
Bottom.
Oh my God. You call me a nasty pig bottom?
Yes, I did.
Damn, girl.
I like that. Yeah, I like Graham Norton a lot. I wish he could
do
be there
not,
every
would
week.
Would you not smash?
No, I would, actually. I absolutely would.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Because when I watch it with friends, we're all in agreement that Graham Norton is, in fact, a snack. And we all sort of were in this, like, level of disbelief also. Like, what? Like, when did this happen? How? Because he wasn't necessarily cute when he was younger. Maybe he reached a certain age where he, like, just got it together or something. But, like, he's totally cute. And I would smash, and I would date, and I would marry Graham Norton. He is very much that kind of man.
He's funny. He's genuinely funny and charming.
Genuinely funny and very charming. I'm fully charmed.
I'm okay. I'm with you. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of, because what's the other very funny queer British guy who's also a guest judge on UK?
Alan Carr.
Okay, work. Love them both.
Wow.
Love them both. Rude.
Glasses erasure. Ooh. The Spexy Alan Carr.
Spexy Alan Carr. I mean, that would truly be a fantastic threesome. Just laughing and coming interchangeably. That'd be a treat. Okay.
I just pictured a very slow-mo scene with like jizz everywhere and everyone just like open mouth laughing and cum coming into their mouths.
Okay.
Like that fantasy.
I'm writing this down because we have to document this. Okay, cool. Yes. Okay, work. I like that. Okay, are you ready for number 9? Mm-hmm. Are you ready for number 9?
Hit me.
Number 9 on the top 10 UK moments is Bagga's asymmetrical attack on her mom. When Bagga Chips decides to...
You're evil.
What?
You're evil.
When Bagga Chips decides to really put her mom in drag and also knock her down, knock her down 8 notches. That was the most iconic moments in Drag Race UK history.
What was that about? Explain to me. For those of us who need a refresher, explain this part.
Okay, so, I mean, here's what I'll also say. It's like, people truly... British people have like, no, this is not me attacking her. This is how we talk. This is how British people talk to each other. The show edits things however they want it to be edited. So like, do with that what you will. I'm just saying the moment I received via television was hilarious, where Bagga's mom comes on. They do talk about having a slightly stunted relationship.
Right.
And then Bagga continues to be like, yeah, well, you know, she's a bit pudgy. She's a bit, she can't walk for shit. And she's blind. Yeah, she's blind. She makes bats look like they're wonderful drivers. How do you like my accent?
messy, like you.
Truly messy. That was the moment that was very iconic for all the strangest reasons, because she was pretending to be like a Kris Jenner type with a sex tape, or... Kim Kardashian. No, she dressed her mom as Kim Kardashian.
Kim, yeah, exactly.
And she was sheepishly waving a sex tape. Which is also so 2000 and late. Let's be honest.
Not the Black Eyed Peas quote. No.
Sorry about it.
Wow. Did you think it was like a weird like self-sabotage? When I saw that clip, I was like, this feels weirdly self-sabotage-y, and I don't want to like overlap maybe another moment that might be in this countdown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. So I'm going to say this as an honorable mention. And if it is, you could be like, no, bitch, that's number 2 on my list.
Okay.
But it's the part where Bagga Chips straight up sabotages her own chances of winning Drag Race UK by saying these other queens deserve to be here. Do you know what I mean?
Oh God, that's not even on my list. So this is great. Yeah, this is a sub headline. Yeah, poor Bagga.
Because to me, that moment felt like, wait, is she like sabotaging herself? And to me, it's like, does Bagga not want to win Drag Race UK? And I don't think she ever wanted to win.
It doesn't seem like she did.
Ever. Like, even from the beginning, I feel like she was very funny and a strong competitor, but I don't think she fully wanted the title.
I think she almost had survivor's guilt.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah, she had survivor's guilt because she knew she was amazing, but I think she also knew her looks were pretty goofy. And she
Oof,
was like,
girl.
Really? I'm safe? Fuck. Okay, work.
Maybe that had something to do with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to me, it just felt like, and you know, like she is a very successful drag queen, and like I think the show really helped her career, even though she didn't win. But I mean, I don't know if I should be saying this, but she's gonna be on the International All-Stars.
Wait, just what? What?
Just say,
wait,
maybe
what?
that might not be true, so I don't know, whatever,
what?
But you know, to me, it's shocking that she would even sign up to do an International All-Stars, because it just seemed like she was done with the competition aspect of the show.
Oh my God.
And she just wanted to be on TV.
That was a
That's
gag.
That's what it seemed like to me.
I've never heard that. I have never talked to a co-host like this. When I yell at a co-host, it's because I love them. Learn from this.
You don't love me.
You don't love me. Yes, I do. I tried texting you. Let's talk about this later. Fucking Valentina. Okay, what's number eight, girl?
Okay, number eight for me is, I'm going back. It's so funny. I'm doing All Stars 2 again. I mean, UK 2, and you're doing UK 1. Number eight in the top 10 UK franchise moments is Lawrence Chaney not getting over Ellie Diamond's stand-up placement in the stand-up challenge. What the fuck was that about?
That is so funny, and it wasn't even on my list, so I'm really glad you brought that up.
Oh, that sucks. Ruined a perfect reputation in Lawrence Chaney. Listen, I'm glad that she won. I'm happy that she won, but
she's
that
so
was
lovely.
An Alaska All-Stars 2
yep.
like blemish in her just her run. It was like, girl, what the fuck?
So hissy fits are good luck on Drag Race. I mean,
the category is petty. Like, what? Listen, like, Ellie's not
true.
Coming for your gig, girl.
Look.
And you were fine. You weren't even in the bottom two. It was so nuts.
Hissy fits ever since season two have been good luck. Word to Tyra Sanchez. I'm sorry, King James. I'm sorry. Word to Tyra. It's like, if you let a girl know, I'm not a bitch. If I wanted to be a bitch, I could be a bitch. But I'm not. Was I talking to you? Pandora, no. Do you think I'm a bitch? Jujubee, do you think I'm... And I mean, so maybe hissy fits are good luck, Oscar?
Maybe, but they have to be in twos, though. And only in twos.
Oh, wow.
All-Stars 2, Season 2, UK 2. Oh. So, girl.
Oh, my. Double girl. Rainbow. That is crazy.
Did I break you, Mother?
Yeah, you did. You did. Whoa, girl. Yep.
What did you think of that moment?
It was bad. I hated it. Love Lawrence Chaney, but it was almost like, to me, watching it, it felt like, oh, Lawrence isn't going to win now.
I thought the same thing, too.
Because it's like, why are you showing us this? It's really souring us on this gal.
Oh, my gosh.
That sucked. That sucked. Because it's just like, look, you gotta roll with the punches, and we always live when you roll with the punches. Okay, thinking of season two again, like when Raven is given, you know, the oldest, hairiest man... She turns this man out. She picks him up because he gets tired on the runway. Though that's what we live for. We live for you, like, overcoming, not like, right. I should have had a better chance.
I know, hitting below the belt, but, like, with Alaska, it made sense to me because she was in the bottom and was up for elimination, and she had a perfect track record until that moment. But Lawrence Chaney wasn't even in danger of being in the bottom, and I think it was just her pride because, like, she's known as the comedy queen, and she fucking ate it on that challenge.
Yep.
She was very bad.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a pride thing of, like, Ellie Diamond is the reason why I didn't do good. Bitch.
Bitch.
Lawrence Chaney, you funny girl, but a stand-up comedian, you are not.
Wow.
And I think it was very unfair the way that Ellie Diamond was treated in those episodes.
Yeah.
Very unfair.
Very unfair. Okay, work. Okay. Are we ready for the next one? I guess this is number
seven. Hit me with the
seven.
Number seven, bitch.
Okay, I have a few here, and I'm trying to decide what feels proper for seven. And I have to put this here because this is funny. And I'm sorry, it's still season two again. Ginny's non-lip sync.
Okay, that was on my list. Okay, actually, that was
Ginny's disappearing lip sync.
Up. Uh-huh.
I think it deserves around this area because it was iconic, but it was bad. Like, it's iconic, but it truly was.
Wait, define bad. What do you mean bad? Because I kind of have to disagree with you. I thought it was pretty iconic.
I mean,
I thought it was pretty fucking cool.
Okay, it's iconic, but it's also like, she's a bad sport. Like, period.com.org. She's a bad sport. You can't, if you just don't do the lip sync, like, you're a bad sport. I'm sorry, but like, you're a bad sport. You knew this was a very likely, almost everyone, actually, no, a false. Everyone on the show lip syncs. Even if you're in the top, you're the final three, you're going to lip sync.
Right.
So
right.
Just to be like, I did not want to do this.
But Ginny's reasoning was because she had to lip sync against her sister.
But that's stupid. I don't like, that's not a good excuse. That's not a good excuse. That's stupid.
Well, okay, let me ask you this.
That's some
if Ginny Lemon
Dovima Normie
around,
bullshit. No, boo.
True. But if Ginny Lemon stuck around, do you think she would have beat Sister in the lip sync?
Yeah, I bet. I would love to have seen Ginny so funny, and she's such a great performer in Rats. the musical that I would love to see you perform, girl. What the fuck? Mm-hmm.
But that's you though. You're just a greedy pig bottom for lip sync. She did it on
slop
her own
it.
Terms, and she let what you think?
Slop it. Put a bag of jelly beans in my ass.
Ew.
Yeah, word to freaky fat bitch.
You know people are going
to
hear this, right?
Word to freaky fat bitch. And if you don't know who Aaron 99 is, game over. I don't. You're not my friend because
she knows the name too.
A whole bag of Easter jelly beans, YouTube.
I gotta say, total side note, but I showed my friends, that's not pee, that's squirt.
Okay, what they say.
And they were so turned off, and I think they see me in a very different light now, don't regret a second of it.
Exactly. It's one of those things where you're like, it's truly, like, disturbing at first, and then you're like, mm-hmm. I like this.
Exactly, yes.
It is.
So those of us, just Google
Babe's squirt pillow. That's Babe's squirt pillow. Ding! Okay, wait, Oscar, silence.
What? I didn't say anything.
But still, okay? I feel like taking a break. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door, and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Bring back my brick. Okay, we're back. We got number 7. Ginny's non-lip sync on the charts.
I thought that was, I gotta say, for me, I thought it was pretty iconic. And I
but you
really
love
like Ginny Lemon for doing that. Yeah.
Don't you think that's wasted opportunity?
No, because I don't think it's a wasted opportunity. I think it gave us a really cool moment to talk about on All Stars 2. if Ginny Lemon lip sync, I don't think it would have been like iconic and amazing. It would have been just another normal ass lip sync. Mm. And then we really got to focus on Sister Sister's thin ass ponytail, which is really fun.
Okay. Okay. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Sister Sister. Glad she stuck around. Okay.
Because that voice sounds real tight.
No, I'm really happy. I wish we saw more of her. Okay. What is number six on the top 10?
Girl, number six.
UK moments, hon.
Oh my gosh. There's so many. Okay.
There's so many.
I mean, number six, you know,
this is hard. Really hard.
Okay, number six. I'm going, you know, I'm sticking with a UK two.
Okay.
But it's a two-parter.
Okay.
It's a
two-parter. Greedy.
They're intertwined. They're intertwined with each other. It is Veronica Green getting COVID. And Bimini Bamboulash annihilating the competition after the shutdown.
Interesting. So this is
so number six goes to COVID-19. Okay. Number six spot is just
okay. I like that. I'm just putting down COVID-19. Mm-hmm. With an asterisk.
Literally changing
the game. So yeah, COVID-19 did change the game. Talk to me.
Okay, so here's the thing. It was like a weird Freaky Friday scenario because before the pandemic, before COVID-19, Veronica Green was on an upside. She was killing it for some reason. Mm-hmm. And you know, the first episode of Drag Race, I was a little nervous for my girl Veronica because I was like, uh-oh, she's getting the dumpy music edit.
Uh-huh.
She's going to do really bad. This girl is lost and confused. Oh, no. But then when the Rats the Musical showed up and I was like, oh, there she is.
Mm-hmm.
There she is. Mm-hmm. And then subsequently became a really strong contender and found her confidence in the show, which I think is really cool. Veronica Green is not really my aesthetic per se, but I respected her determination and her drive to do well. So, like, I major props to Veronica Green. And the thing that killed her chances in the competition was COVID-19.
Wow.
And you could see it in the special. You could hear her literally get sick on camera. Where she starts coughing like a maniac, and I was like,
ooh. Ew, wait, I didn't even remember that. That's disgusting.
That's disgusting.
Wow.
She was out jogging outside. I was like, oh, girl, you gonna get it, girl. Rhythm's gonna get you, bitch. And by rhythm, I mean COVID-19.
I mean,
and sure enough,
there's a rhythm.
She didn't return, but she will be back for UK 3, which I'm curious to see how she will place.
We're curious.
My spider sense is tingling and saying that she will not do well, but that's just me. That's my spider sense.
That's a spider sense. That's a moment.
And inversely, we have Miss Bimini, who did horrible,
before.
Terrible, no good, very bad showing on UK 3 before the pandemic. God. And then all of a sudden.
Very, very harsh.
It's true. All of a sudden, the bitch woke the fuck up. She took a nap.
Uh-huh.
The pandemic gave her something to sleep
something
on.
Something
about... was like, okay, girl, wake the fuck up, bitch.
Something about girl, millions passing away. Just really...
I mean, she... Something activated deep inside of her, and she showed the fuck up.
She really did.
To the very end of UK 2, and I was here for it. I was here for
everything. I was really here for Bimini. I was surprised she didn't win, not to discredit anyone's win.
A lot of people think that Bimini should have won UK 2.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it would have felt more earned to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am just basing it off of the footage I saw from a competition, but it would have felt a little more earned to me. I've said this before, I'll say it again. It's a race. And yeah. I like the idea of the person. It's a race, right? So you got to cross the finish line. And to me, Bimini crossed that final finish line.
Yeah, she was stalling a little bit, but then she got it together and then she made it.
She fucking tortoised up in there. And the tortoise wins the race, bitch. We know that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that's called fairy tales.
But to me, it's like, what happened during this time to wake Bimini, to make Bimini such as a black horse in the competition, you know what I mean? And make her like really incredible. Like, what was it? And I think the answer is that she sort of stopped caring about doing well and just did her own damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that was it. Maybe she just...
Then that's all it took.
Yeah. I mean, I think it helped for a lot of people. A lot of people, like, I don't know, when you realize what's actually important and you're, you know, how little precious time we have, some people are motivated by that.
I think so, too. And then acknowledging the inner saboteur.
That fucking French fucker. That sounds like what, Oscar? What does your inner saboteur sound like, huh? What does she sound like?
She sounds like all the voices and then some.
Oh, hello.
Girl. Wait, is that what your inner saboteur sounds like?
No, my inner saboteur sounds like this. Mono thinks he's fly, gorgeous, beautiful.
No, she does not sound like Tiffany Pollard, aka New
like
York.
That. He's nothing of the sort.
That's weird because that's what my inner saboteur sounds like as well.
And it says to you,
Beyonce! Beyonce! Oscar looks like Luther Vandross.
Oh my God.
That's what my inner saboteur
sounds
like.
I knew it. Well, yeah, I'm fine with that. Okay. I think it's a gaggy moment. Are we already at number five?
We're halfway through, girl.
One,
so
two,
deliver.
Oh my God. We're at four. Wait, we're at five.
No, five, bitch. What the
I'm
hell?
I'm scared. Okay. Okay. I have
Aren't
a big one.
Aren't you writing
one.
This down? Shouldn't
yes,
you know what
I'm writing
we're
it
in?
Down. Shut up.
Girl, she's in trouble.
Oh my God. I hate you. Okay. So this is a tough one. This is tough. I'm between two right here. God damn Ooh. It. I'm between two here, and they're both from season one.
Okay.
Oh God, this is hard. Oh God, damn it! But I feel comfortable doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say season one's Snatch Game. Season one Snatch Game.
You know what?
Is one of the best Snatch Games.
I agree with that.
In the history of the show.
I agree with that. I agree.
Good.
Yep. 100%. I mean, gave us iconic performances from the Vivian and Bag of Chips in particular.
Amazing.
But I think everyone did a really good job. Well, except for...
Maybe Crystal was less amazing, but she wasn't horrid.
She wasn't horrible. If this was the U.S., better. She would have been safe.
Yep. Yep, exactly. I mean, Blue Hydrangea's slutty, disgusting whore, Mary Berry, that was great.
I was into it.
That was fun. Okay, I guess we did have a harder. Some Ting Wong's David Attenborough was not very good.
No, it was a barely there performance, but.
It was good. It was a good moment. Solidified Bag as a comedic queen and Vivian as a chameleon.
And like an incredible surprise too, the Vivian doing a spot on Donald Trump,
which
that shit is risky
and making it's that funny. Bitch.
And making it funny, exactly.
That's crazy. Because exactly. I don't think it's funny. I really don't. I don't like Trump. We all know this. Trump jokes are like really, I would say, almost never funny. Because it's just like.
Yeah, it's an eye roll for me. It's an eye roll.
It's just like, you know, joking about a fire happening on, you know, in the next room. It's like, but there's a fire in the next room. So it's like a little hard to laugh at. But she did it. She did it.
She did it successfully. I mean, it launched that show that's on WoW Presents.
That part, which I haven't seen.
So, well, yeah, me neither.
And I refuse to.
But you've watched Drag Tots. You've watched every episode of Drag Tots. Let it be known, listeners.
Oh my God.
That Mono has never seen the Vivian show, but has watched every episode of Drag Tots. Quotes it on a daily basis. Can't stop talking about it. She has a tattoo of Drag Tots, the logo, as a tramp stamp.
I am deflating like a balloon at a child's birthday that happened 1 week ago. I'm just in the corner going.
She's deflating like that Barney float at the Macy's.
Oh, no. What a catastrophe. I think that was a gaggy moment.
Would you say Snatch Game for UK 1 is the best Snatch Game you've ever seen?
I want to say yes. I'm trying to think of ones that are hit for hit better. I guess, you know, season 7 is surprisingly a good Snatch Game. Lil Richard, Adele, Big Ange, Violet Chachki as Alyssa Edwards. Season 6 might be one of the best Snatch Games.
I was going to say season 6.
Yeah.
I was going to say season 6.
Yeah, that's a hit. That's a hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some stinkers in there. Because Miss Davina DeCampo did Julia Child, and that was like okay, right?
That was like, that was okay. That was good to okay. Yes,
it wasn't as rough as Milk's in season 6.
Oh my lord! Well, yeah,
but you know, but
they brought it. I mean, but it solidifies the whole concept of why UK drag is great and very valid, because it shows their comedy skills and their improv skills, their quick thinking skills, and they all delivered.
They killed it.
I mean, this is why we watch Drag Race UK.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we expect it to be incredibly funny.
Yeah. There we go. It's the pressure. Holy shit. We're already at number 4, Oscar. This is
number
crazy.
Four,
girl.
Number
this is crazy.
Four.
These have to be okay. Now what do you think? What do you think it is?
Okay, well, my number 4 pick is a pretty iconic moment in UK 2.
Okay.
And I think it's something that changes the way that the show works. And that is Tia Coffey eliminating Estina Mandela from the competition.
Oh my God.
Tia Coffey beating Estina Mandela in a lip sync for your life.
Wow.
That's number 4. And I'll tell you why this changes the scope of especially international drag race. Because it brings up the question of the lip syncs on Drag Race and what value they hold in the sense of the competition. Now, if you've been listening to Drag Her, you are no stranger to the injustices being incurred on the current season of Drag Race Holland.
Oh, I haven't even seen the latest episode, but I kind of saw the result, and I am gagged to see how we got there. I'm gagged.
So there is a little bit of contention in my part where I think that lip syncs sort of don't matter anymore in the of who goes home and who doesn't. It's overly produced, and we're able to see all the strings. And I think the beginnings of it was in that episode. Now, do I love Tia Coffey? Of course I do. I think Tia Coffey should have stayed. I think her legacy on Drag Race UK
she's hilarious.
Is valid. She's incredibly lovable, incredibly charming, incredibly talented at what she does. But did she really beat Estina Mandela in that lip sync?
I couldn't tell you. Because that was also edited to hell. I also have this
1,000%.
Blatant, I wrote down blatant robbery as one of my things. In regard
Girl,
to
Estina,
Estina
won the first challenge of the season.
She was gorgeous. She was amazing.
To be sent home third?
I was so excited.
Was a bit.
That was fucked up and stupid.
Was a little weird, bitch.
And then when they brought her back, they didn't bring her back. I was like, what are we talking about?
Joe Black back. I was a little sort of sus about that whole thing.
It sucks.
And I think it was one of those things where, oh, it's not really about the lip syncs. It's about the likability factor and the TV show. Because let's not forget, this is in fact a TV show where honestly, merit doesn't really matter. And I think we're able to see it in this specific moment of Drag Race UK. We're able to see a little bit of the strings, and it starts with Tia Coffey eliminating Estina Mandela.
Damn.
Point blank.
No, you said point blank, period.
Well, I mean, to that effect, girl.
Yeah.
Where's the lie, bitch?
Where is the lie?
She was a strong queen of color that, you know, had to go, according to the producers, it seems like to me, anyway.
It fucked me up, and I hated every second of that. I was like, what's happening here? She's so good. She already won. She has a unique point of view.
Also, it was very suspicious anyway. It was very suspicious to me because, first of all, the look, yes, figure skatery, but it was made very well. It was tailored perfectly to Estina's body. It was really good. She gave me Chun-Li realness. I was into that.
But the same standard.
And the gripe that RuPaul and the judges had was that she looked like a man.
No, shut up.
Felt so like, girl, this dated ass shit. What the hell?
It's also...
Who the fuck is channeling Miss Swan right now? Like, no, bitch. Drag is different. Drag is not female illusion. And for RuPaul to say that, I was like, girl, I'm disappointed.
I was very disappointed. I'm and also just like, was girl. Not the same standard. Because this was the same episode where they were like, Ginny Lemon, you put on a pink thing.
I was ready to say goodbye to Ginny. I was ready to be, even though I love her, ready to say goodbye.
But it was not the same standard because Ginny was like, looked like shit. And she was wearing, mm-hmm. she was just like.
She looked like Mono in drag. Absolutely.
Thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll own that because I can't for a second say that I'm not coming for Ginny Lemon's drag. But what I'm saying is in that challenge, the story of I put on a pink garment and they were just like, that's the fucking yeah. bravest thing you've
and
ever done.
You know
done.
What, Mono? That's very kind of you to say garment when I would have said fabric. Ooh. Stapled together.
Around your waist?
Say.
No, girl. No. Yeah, that it's just not the same standard. It's not the same show. It's not fair. It's not real. Bye.
It's not exactly. Thank you. And thank you for agreeing with me. And don't you agree that that was the beginning of the end for lip syncs on Drag Race?
I mean, yeah, sure. I'm with you.
And granted, Tia Coffey kept me entertained. She was very funny. But the girl was like looking lost at certain moments. She kept looking at Estina. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a safe lip sync at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I look at the two of them and I was like, y'all, even if it's edited as all hell, I'm able to see from the scraps that Astina did a better job than Tia Coffey. Mm. And that, you know, and that's my opinion. I could be wrong about it, but that's what I have to say about the
Damn.
Matter. And that's all I will say on the matter.
Damn. Bam. Bam, bam, damn.
Sorry.
Sorry about it.
Sorry.
Look, you have not lied yet, Oscar. You have not lied at all. Mm-hmm. Unlike in your personal life, you have not lied yet.
Oh, I'm a big fat liar. Yeah. Yes. Call me Frankie Muniz because I'm a big fat liar. Call me Paul Giamatti. I'm a big fat liar, bitch. Call me Amanda Bynes.
That's what I was hoping for. That's what I was hoping for. So, there's a blue blowing joke in there, but I just don't have the time right now. There's
yeah,
a blue
she's tired.
Blowing. She's tired. You're blue. You blue. You do blow. You're blue. We're going to work it out. Okay. How about this? Would you sleep with Paul Giamatti to get to Graham Norton?
Yes.
Interesting.
Girl, I sleep with anybody at this point.
That's Ozzymo. O-Z-Z-Y-M-O.
Slide on down, baby. Slide on down. Slide in those DMs.
I mean,
baby.
You
That's
guys can't see this,
for.
But Oscar looks so cute right now. He's
you
got
so stupid.
He's
You're
got
so
this
dumb.
Stash. He's got these sideburns for an
Girl.
Upcoming part on a
You're so stupid.
HBO show. And he
You're
looks
so stupid. I, okay.
The fantasy the is real. The 70s
Girl.
Fantasy is hot.
I will say that I was on set and someone stopped me. A really sweet, nice little PA stopped me and was like, I'm sorry, do you drag her? And I was like, excuse me.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, I heard your name. And I was like, that name sounds familiar. And I realized, oh yeah, you drag her with Mono. And I was like, girl, you might. So shout out to Quandrell. Mm. You made my day that day.
Love.
You're awesome.
Love.
Keep listening. So we love you.
Gaggy. I love that. I love that.
I know. I love it too. I love it when people stop me or like message me to say, hey, I heard you on Drag Her.
Upload some thirst traps of you in your 70s gear. Maybe you're not allowed to. But one day they'll hit the internet.
Well, there's that one picture you can post
okay.
for this episode.
Okay. So, okay, I guess it's time for is it my turn to go for number three?
Number three, girl, top three.
Okay. Top three.
All the coins,
I feel
honey.
Good about this. I feel good about this.
Okay.
It's also a double down, but I think I feel okay about making it a double down because my number three is both seasons girl group challenges.
Thank you.
Okay.
Actually, that was my number two.
Okay.
That was my number two.
Good.
But yes.
Because I just.
And I was going to include both of them too.
Good.
So, okay.
Good.
We have the same wavelength.
I want to break
That's,
up.
This is rare.
It
Can
is
I just
rare.
Say this is rare.
It is rare. Well, you know, sometimes pure evil and pure good have to come together. You know,
yeah.
like it just makes sense. So this is I want to break up, bye bye, and
yep.
a big bang bong.
Yes. But which one?
I'm saying they're both these are both number three. Do you want me to pick which one I like more?
No, I was going to say, which one for Bing Bang Bong did you like more?
Oh, I mean, the one that was more popular, the one with Laura.
The iconic one?
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, isn't that mm-hmm, fucked mm-hmm. up, too, that they on UK, they do the same song, and then the public is like, we like this group more.
1,000%. But girl, facts are facts. The other team, I barely remembered what the fuck they did.
Yeah.
With Joe Black? Are you kidding me?
I know.
Girl, thumbs up indeed. Mm-mm, no.
Yep.
No.
I mean.
UK, hun? UK, hun?
UK, hun. I mean, it is a moment. Do you like one of these songs more? Because obviously
I'm team Bing Bang Bong.
I think I'm team.
But I Want to Break Up is a bop. Oh, really?
I think so.
Well, it's so funny to me because it was like,
bye.
These challenges in the U.S. are hit and miss. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Hit and miss.
Yes.
Like All Stars 3, I think, had a really strong, like the girl groups, I thought that was kind of strong.
Yes.
But then the other ones are sort of forgettable. But something about UK Drag Race, it's like, oh, we're like actually building like girl groups up in this gig. Mm-hmm. Like these are contenders, bitch. Like I'm here for
and
it.
And they've both like kind of had a cute traveling moment where they get to perform this song. People want to hear it. I know Bing Bang Bong had like an actual moment on the song charts and everyone was like, gag.
I didn't know.
It had a full moment on the song charts. It broke some record, certainly for a Rue song.
For sure. Oh my God. I would say her biggest hit, right?
Probably. I mean, this is a full Eurovision song. I mean, you could.
1,000%.
Yeah. It's fun, 1,000%. fun. And it was a weird thing too, where like the first time I heard this song, I was like, this will kill me or save my life. Like this, the song I'm hearing right now is so divisive.
Yeah.
This will either kill me in the middle of the night, like the malignant demon Gabriel, or
Malignant. That's a little mixed reference.
I mean, or
Malignant.
Or it'll save my life like Jesus.
Wait, do
Yahweh.
You not know that reference, Manu?
No, I don't. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, we're in the topic of girl groups. So there's a girl group
Malignant.
Called Little Mix.
Oh.
And there's a clip of one of the girls doing a Jamaican accent, and she like short circuits or something and says like something to that effect, but it sounds like she's saying Malignant. And so when I hear the movie, my mind always goes to that clip of her going Malignant. It's very funny.
I had no clue. I'm just living my life for Gabriel, which we are both gonna go as Gabriel for Halloween this year.
We don't need makeup, honey.
I just no spoilers, no spoilers.
We just gotta break our joints and we are good to
good
go.
Good to go, good to go. I mean, look, I love it. Okay.
Wait, you liked Malignant?
I did.
I did not. Interesting.
I had some issues with it. I thought the lead was horrible.
Ooh, girl. Oof.
But the overall vibe, the creation of the monster introduced to the horror canon, sure. I liked that.
Sure. But girl, I've seen this movie and it was called Basket Case. The end.
Well, don't we reserve a refresh?
No.
Call it a
Basket Case remake. Call it a Sisters remake. Girl, I've seen this movie.
Girl. Oh, well, we're going to fight about it. We're going to fight a little bit more about it.
I guess we are.
And to do that, we need to do what?
Another one?
Yeah, we take two breaks now.
Damn it. She's ambitious.
I mean, come on, BetterHelp. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me de-crap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go! Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Bring back
my break.
Ooh, we are down to the wire. We're at number two
one. This is really hard.
This is hard. This is hard. I have two that I'm competing between. It's going to be sad. It's going to be sad if either of them make it to honorable mentions, but you know, that's the system we set up.
Oh God, girl. I don't know what to pick, which one to pick.
It's tough.
Okay. I have one. It's number two. See, this is where you and I might agree wholeheartedly.
Okay.
But to me, if you were to ask me what the moment was in All-Stars 2.
All-Stars.
I mean, not All-Stars. Why do I keep saying it?
You keep saying All-Stars.
Because it's two. Because it's two. Because
it's
the number two, fucks
two.
Me up. UK 2
mm-hmm.
is.
I know what you're going to say.
And I would say.
I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
I don't want to ruin it. No, I don't want to ruin it. Because what if I'm wrong?
You probably are. No, but you're probably not. Because, you know, it speaks to me. As to, like, someone who reveres lip syncs on the show.
Uh-huh.
Someone who's very... And that's why, you know, Tia Coffey and Estina, all that, like, really bothers me. Because I think it really boils down to a lip sync. And I think lip syncs are the moments of Drag Race, I think.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think of all the biggest moments on Drag Race, and most of them are lip syncs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to ask me the biggest moment in UK 2, I would have to say... The Memories lip sync.
Whoa.
Tace's Memories.
Wow. Wow.
To me,
wow,
is
wow,
the
wow, wow,
second
wow, wow.
best moment in all of the UK franchise.
Wow.
And again, I literally said a couple of spots before that lip syncs don't matter. And yes, that might be true.
You're crazy.
But as a viewer... As a producer, they don't give a shit about the lip syncs. But as a viewer, nothing shook me to my core than Tace lip syncing to that song. And I'm gonna tell you why this is iconic.
Talk to me.
Because
we know,
normally
we know Tace was
in a lip sync.
I mean, she was the slaughterer of the season.
She really was.
But keep going.
The lip sync assassin for sure.
That part.
But. You look at a queen like Tace, who's a dancing queen, who's like very physical, and we've seen her lip sync to that. Oh my God, what was that song? What was the upbeat song that she lip synced to? Against Sister Sister? One of those songs.
Oh,
I don't remember.
Just Against Sister Sister? I don't remember.
Girl, she said
I don't
Sister
remember.
Sister
was it? I don't know what it was.
Anyway, yeah. So, like, yeah, you know that she can buck and kick and move around.
Uh-huh.
Like, yes, we know that. the lip syncing that she did against Ellie Diamond, that she clearly beat Ellie Diamond, but Ellie Diamond got to stay.
Uh-huh.
Like, we know that she can give us that. But what we didn't know was that she could deliver in a ballad.
Mm.
And for me, and I said this when we talked about it in Drag Her years and years ago. I mean, it felt like years.
Mm.
Was that I would love to see more ballads incorporated in a lip sync for your life.
Yes.
And the audacity to not have ballads anymore, because I think it would like scare viewers is a complete crock of shit.
It was Jess Glynn's Don't Be So Hard on Yourself. Okay, keep going.
Thank you. I've done some research. Thank you. But again, it's a testament. We don't remember that song, but we remember the ballads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because we've had bad lip sync ballads on Drag Race, like All Stars 3. They did a Lord song with Kennedy and Banda La Creme.
Oh, God.
Was it called Hour something? Green Hour? I don't know. Whatever.
Green Light.
That was pretty,
but I would even say Wrecking Ball was pretty weak as well.
Horrible.
You know?
Hell on Earth.
But I'm talking about those like classic. Classic. Let's get into old soul. I need to remind y'all of season 4 of Drag Race when Latrice Royale completely demolished that runway with singing
Was Kenya Michaels?
Natural Woman.
Yeah. She destroyed Kenya Michaels.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Singing Gladys Knight and lip syncing to Gladys Knight and the Pips. Like,
yes.
Why don't those songs happen?
And she did what? She stood in Drag Race still. Anymore. She stood still.
Absolutely still. And I think drag lost a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or the drag that we know now.
Mm-hmm.
We lose a little bit of the ballad, of the emotion, of the sincerity, of like giving us an actual lip sync where you sell it in the face. And Tace reminded us all that she can that we can turn it out even though we're standing still in one spot and we're really emoting the shit out of a lip sync.
Mm, damn.
So let this be a lesson to any future seasons of Drag Race. Let's put some more ballads in our lip sync. I need to remind y'all, Drag Race España, the finale lip sync, one of the best lip syncs I have ever seen in my entire life. Lip sync to a Rocío Dúrcal song, and it was a ballad, and it was one of the best ballads I've ever witnessed on
Drag
Race.
Wet hair.
Yes.
Yeah, honey. It was incredible.
So yeah, that's my number two.
Damn.
And just a gentle reminder that we need to bring back some of those classic ballads.
Yeah, I agree, but they have to be respected. They have to be respected. And that's going to be a little tricky because we've had some slow songs that are really just...
But don't be afraid of them because so many queens fuck it up.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's true.
But for every Kennedy Davenport, we have a Tace.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
And we would have been robbed of having Tace's performance if it was like a upbeat song.
Yeah, that's true.
She would have turned it out. But we wouldn't. Oh, I get chills just thinking about that lip sync. It is so beautifully done.
Insane. Agree. A work.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay, bitch. It all rests on you now.
Okay, so I'm also going to say this. I'm going to say number one, but I'm actually going to be crazy. And after we do number one, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Do you want to change any of yours on the countdown? Because I am tempted to change one of mine on the countdown.
Oh, interesting. I'm curious to what would you change?
I am tempted to pluck one.
And replace it with another?
Yeah.
What are you plucking?
With something else I want to talk about. But maybe I'll just move it to honorable mention and just call it a day. What do you think?
I think you should. I'm very happy with the countdown we've created.
It's funny and weird, and it's not factual, and that's what we do here on Drag Her.
And that's what we do. That's our brand.
That's what we do.
Don't come to us be like definitive. No, that's our other podcast.
No.
This is opinionated, okay?
That's podcast. Wait, kill the video star. Yeah.
But wait. Before we get to number one, let's do our honorable mentions first.
Smart.
How about that?
Smart.
Okay.
Gee.
So let's rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Start, I go.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. Ready? Much better.
Aha.
Honorable mention, Gaggy. It's a Gaggy moment. It was actually funny, and it's one of the most successful brand integrations. You know, sometimes people are like, I said this funny thing and I won't shut up.
That's a good point.
It was pretty funny.
That's a good point.
It was pretty funny.
That's a good point.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah. I would say another honorable mention is Sumpting Wong being robbed from the win in the first episode from giving us incredibly iconic looks with the bull look and the stamp look, absolutely robbed from winning the first episode.
Yep. Yes. Yes. I'm going to say, here we go. The Alyssa Edwards exorcism of Cheryl Hole. When the spirit of Alyssa Edwards was properly exorcised from the body of Cheryl Hole.
She got her hooks in there. Yep. She had her hooks deep in Cheryl Hole.
Liberated. Yeah. She was like, Monte Manemos. And then she got to be her own person again. That was a moment.
It was a really nice arc.
It was nice.
I'm also going to add, doing a Cheryl Cole lip sync in front of Cheryl Cole.
Oh, yeah. That was a gag. That was really
gaggy. Also really iconic. And you saw Cheryl fighting in that lip sync.
Yeah, that was a good lip sync.
I was like, oh, she's arrived. She's fully arrived.
That was fun.
I'm also going to say another moment that I really liked. It bears an honorable mention, but I want to talk about it, is when Sumpting Wong lost the lip sync to Spice Up Your Life, and then Ginger Spice, Jerry Halliwell, came
cute
to the dressing room afterwards to like be really emotionally sincere and be like, I see your spirit. I mean, we forget that drag queens are also people, and it was a nice, refreshing moment to see Jerry moved by Sumpting Wong and like approached her. I really love that moment. And one of my favorite moments in UK one for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree. And the next one is The Tyranny of Scaredy Cat and that mystifying Venus lip sync where she wouldn't stop making her hands a mountain. And
she loved that move.
She loved that move. Goddess she of the mountaintop.
Yes. Also, I mean, I'm going to tie that with Gothic Ken Doll's lip sync too.
Okay.
It was to a Dua Peep song. Very uncomfortable boy in woman's clothes, giving us bare minimum lip sync. It is truly, in its own way, incredibly iconic.
I agree. Oh my God. Okay. Is it my turn or your turn? I don't know.
It's your turn.
Okay. Victoria Scone. Already iconic.
Oh, Victoria Scone. Okay, already you're iconic. Cheating now. Okay, just her presence on UK3.
She's
okay.
Gonna do something incredible. It's gonna be a moment. That's it.
I mean, they got people talking already. We got haters on one side. We got supporters on the other side.
And
so,
my haters are what? My motivators. And that's on. Period.
Thank you. Like Bonnie Raitt said, honey, let's give him something to talk about. So Victoria Scone is doing just that, and she's upping the game, and I'm very proud that we actually have an AFAB queen in the competition.
Agree?
It's about time.
Yeah, she's a drag queen.
And the girl, she got it, bitch. She got the goods.
Agree?
She knows how to fucking do drag, bitch.
Uh-huh.
So
work.
The more the merrier is what I have to say. When will we get a season where we see a cishet?
I thought we would get that
person
so
too
early.
I thought so too.
I thought we'd get that in season
they
three
exist
and four.
I know they exist.
Soon. It's soon. Now they're
gonna happen.
You know, doling it out because how do they keep the gags coming? Truly.
Right.
Okay. Next.
That's good, girl. That's good. Okay, another honorable mention. One of my favorite. This is the last one I have. Is thank God for Ginny Lemon showing us a thruple that isn't Derek Barry.
How dare you? I love it. Oh my God. Wow. Okay. Work. I can't deny that.
Where's the lie, bitch? Thank you. We're seeing another flavor.
People killing, people dying.
And I am so thankful for that.
Well, then you practice what you preach and you get a thruple that deserves to be on TV. That's it.
Ooh.
And
are you?
Okay, I have a couple more I need to rattle off.
Okay, go ahead, girl.
I don't think.
Iconic.
Is iconic.
Iconic.
And an incredible way to dismiss someone's hate.
I don't think.
Silver.
Me with a red wig and a silver dress, and then cut to exactly that.
I don't think. Also, I gotta say, Tia V. Ahura V. Tace. The love.
Ooh, I have one.
The
more.
Love and oh hate God. Triangle. That is that. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Live for mm-hmm. that. Live mm-hmm. for the whatever BDSM moment is happening between the hate and love. There, I'm here for it.
True. Yeah, because it was never really answered, that Ahura taste thing. It was never Mm-mm. really.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And you know what? It's not our business either.
Not our business. So. Not our business. Mm-mm. What's your what? We another honorable mention?
Okay, I'm going to say an honorable mention. UK2, the complete backfiring of the producers meddling, trying to get Ask Tina and Tace to fight about Naomi Campbell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the big message that came about that of like, we don't have to fight. Yes, there's not a lot of black people that we can look up to in the UK. Mm-hmm. And it made a moment out of something that seemed like it was going to be drama filled.
Because yep.
you know the producers were salivating at the mouth, being like, Estina has my look, I want to copy her. Like, Tace is, I'm the better Naomi Campbell. No, it didn't happen. And it was very friendly. And it showed that the queens of color don't play your
Ooh!
Games.
Wow, you don't care. Mm. You just don't even care. You don't even care. I love that. I agree. I love that. And it became a bigger message about representation that doesn't exist.
Thank you. Thank you.
One more honorable mention.
Uh-huh.
Vinegar Strokes Insane Paper Ghoul Babadook Runway.
I hate that. No, why are you doing this?
It was haunting. It haunts my dreams. So
it should be more of a dishonorable mention, if anything, girl. What do you mean honorable mention?
It was a moment. You can't not remember it.
Oh, that tiny sliver of blue. She called it the Thames.
There was like blue. I mean, I think that was another bad look.
That was another bad look, bitch.
I mean,
just like Vinegar Strokes.
It was rough. It was.
Vibe. Yes, yes, yes. I will also say I will say on a positive note, her co-opting Hodgepodge as a positive thing.
There we go. There we go. Bring it to the hodgepodge.
It's like,
Podge.
Okay, she's co-opting it. She's taking the negative and turning it into a positive. And you know what? That's a fighter.
Thanks for making me. So, with no further adieu.
Ooh, girl, I'm nervous.
I know you know what it is.
I think I'd... Okay, girl, can we say it at the same time?
Yes, okay, let's see. On the count of three, we're going to say it at the same time. Okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One. This is one. The number one top moment in UK Drag Race history.
Herstory.
One.
Two.
Three.
I don't want to see
no fucking H&M.
I mean, was there any question it would be anything else?
No. This is the number one moment in Drag Race history for so many reasons, and we'll
hands down. We were
so
able to
reasons.
Break the statue that was RuPaul.
Yep.
Charles.
Yep. Okay, because before this, RuPaul was a well-behaved tourist
yes.
at Drag Race UK.
Exactly.
And then, because yes, yes, yes. even in season one, she's like, am I saying that right? I'm sorry. I'm mm-hmm, wrong. Mm-hmm. But then she said, yep. wait a second. This is my house.
Oh, this is my show.
Wait a second. I will scream at these girls if I want to. And
yeah.
when someone hits me in the face with an H&M, I'm going to tell them what I think
but
about
girl,
that.
The magic of that scene is that we had footage of RuPaul actually cracking.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I cannot unsee that image
yep.
of her literally seeing Kill Bill Red and snapping mm-hmm. as soon as Joe Black very proudly said, mm-hmm. whispered to Michelle, mm-hmm. it actually is H&M. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Because they literally were saying, we have a problem with this, you're in the bottom, and then her making light of it, making a joke of it,
uh-huh.
they couldn't handle it.
Well, that was simply too much for Miss Charles.
Too much?
She got more mad at a queen wearing H&M than a queen doing blackface. Where's the lie?
The mic has been dropped and I can't find it. I can't
Where
find
is the
mic.
Motherfucking lie.
Oh
bitch.
My God. You are 1 trillion.
Nothing broke her as much as Joe Black wearing
H&M.
H&M. Nothing. Mano, out of all the shenanigans, out of the history of Drag Race, all the shenanigans, all the stunts that were pulled, RuPaul has been unbreakable. Yes, there were some moments where she cried and broke down or whatever, but mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. But nothing made her yell at a girl like this before.
Yes, she's had some close calls. You know, she hated Shakespeare on season 7. She told Tammy
sure.
Brown, you forgot you're a fucking star, Tammy. No one else. These are some good
sure.
almosts, but something about this was so in the moment, so raw, and post-Covina, I mean, it is a moment that that made Drag Race UK canon. It because I'm look her like you like hey, we all know this from Tyra, when you yell at people like that, it's because you love them. It's because
But did RuPaul love Joe Black
No,
Girl?
No, that's not true. That's not true. But this
what she got against H&M, girl?
The fact they kept this in the episode. Can we talk about it?
I mean,
RuPaul's doing Old
we needed
Navy
to see
commercials.
It. We needed to see it. We knew that that was a moment that like the world needed to see, and it's a moment we still talk about to this day.
It's genius. I mean, if they're smart, they should do a collaboration together, like Rue and H&M. Girl. They really should. Like, I'm not even kidding.
I mean, honestly.
It would be
I mean, H&M and Joe Black, bitch. That would be funny.
And they he literally called the line, I don't want to see any fucking H&M. I don't want to see any fucking H&M. Like, it would be gaggy and genius, and everyone would buy it.
It really would be. It really would be. It would, and it would, we would, you would have to sell Joe Black's black dress. And mass produce it. It would be the literal black dress from now on.
It was crazy. But yeah, I mean, that's it.
She broke, bitch. She fucking snapped.
She snapped all the way off. And that's what we need, though. Because I think deep down, somewhere RuPaul was like, the show needs this. Like, and I'm sure there was a conversation in editing where they were like, can we keep this in the episode? And I think she was like, yeah. This is going to be good TV. Hell yeah. Like, you know that conversation happened. And the fact that RuPaul wants her TV show to be the best it can be, even when it shows her popping off like a volcano, that's gag. That's drag.
Like a drag that's volcano. Drag. Yeah.
Like a drag volcano in some 12-inch ugly fierce queen heels. That
ugly.
Ugly. That is good TV, and that's why Rue is relevant, iconic. You gotta give it to her. You gotta.
I mean, and also here's the thing. It's like the show, we've reached this point where the show is sort of bigger than RuPaul herself. It's like those moments that we talk about the contestants. We don't really talk about RuPaul. There are slight moments here and there, but all of a sudden, RuPaul became relevant again on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Work.
How fucking cool is that?
That's really work. That is really cool. I mean, yeah. Because she runs the risk of just being this host that just watches what happens. And she said, watch what happens live. I'll show you what happens live.
She's been a passerby.
That's right.
She's been a passerby.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Like you said, a tourist. Fuck it, we'll do it live. But this time she was in the show she oversees.
I love it. And it's genius because, you know, the way people have canceled Ellen for being a monster, right? Because her whole thing is, I'm nice. Here's a $10,000 Shutterfly check.
Oops. Do her
a second. Guess what? If you show yourself yelling at people on the TV show,
the receipts, girl,
can't be canceled.
They are fully there, girl.
You can't be canceled. If you stay canceled, you don't have to get canceled. And RuPaul knows this. It's genius.
Also, to me, it just is so incongruous with what it's like. Why is she getting mad at just? I don't know. It's like you see a girl. You saw fucking Jenny Lemon in like the cheapest little pink. Shit.
Yep.
And then you get mad at a queen for wearing H&M. Girl, your priorities are all over the place.
Yep.
You fucking fracking the universe right now. And then you get mad at an H&M dress? Girl, priorities, where they at? Where they be, girl?
I mean, holler at me.
Listen, and that's why RuPaul keeps us on our toes. I'm very, you know.
It's a gag. It's great. Yeah. It's good TV. And that means I hope
didn't
UK
expect
3
that to happen.
Has some more moments. I hope they have some more moments for us. I really hope.
I think they will, girl.
I do too.
I do too.
Well, gag.
We should do this countdown again after UK 3 wraps to see if anything changes.
I would love to. I would fucking love to. And hey, if you agree or disagree or think there's something we forgot, yell at us at Drag Her Podcast on Instagram. It's fun. We like to interact with you. We want to know. We'll be posting our top 10. Can't wait for the internet to tell us how wrong we are.
And we could be wrong. And you know what? We are wrong.
We are.
So what, honey?
Because if you stay wrong, You ain't got to get wrong, okay?
That's right, I mean, honey.
Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Let us know which moments we forgot. They help so much. I love reading them so very much. So keep it coming. Oscar, where can the Queen support you?
You can follow me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O, on Instagram, on Twitter. And yeah, reach out, say hi. I love all the messages people have been sending me. I love all of y'all.
Cute.
And that's it. Yeah.
Same. Hit me up, Dragger Podcast, or my name, whatever. Talk, keep the conversation going, interact with us at our other podcast, Podcast Killed the Video Star. And that's all she wrote until next week's actual first episode.
I know. Oh, it's happening, girl. We're here.
Yeah, you're going to have some fun vibes, yeah? Well, till next time. Bye, bitches.
Yeah.
That was a HeadGum Original.